Go ahead and be seated tonight and we'll get started. Tonight we're going to look at the Bible and Freemasonry. And we're going to do that because if you were not here Wednesday night or you were not here in the Wednesday night Bible study, a question was asked after a passage I covered last Wednesday night that I really only in part answered. And if I'm going to take a stand on something, if I'm going to say that something is wrong, I owe it to the people a better explanation and to give them the biblical reasons why I would take such a stand. And I want to state at the very beginning of this lesson tonight that this is the only lesson in service that I intend to use to address this subject. I will not be using the topic of Freemasonry as a soapbox. You understand? We're going to do what we need to do, and we're moving on. I intend on saying what I believe needs to be said, and then we'll move it on. We will record this for the folks that aren't here tonight, that weren't brave enough to come, and we'll have several copies of it. We'll put it back there on the table, and if anybody is interested at all what the Bible says about it and what the truth is about it, they can pick it up, and if they don't want to, then that's fine again. I'll go on to sleep well. Again, let me be clear about something. Everybody listen to me tonight. This is a lesson against Freemasonry, not Masons in particular. Do you understand? I know many Masons who say, at least they testify to it, that they are born again. That's between them and God. I do believe this. I believe many Masons are just ignorant of some of the unbiblical practices and beliefs of the Lodge. I believe a lot of them just do it in ignorance. They don't understand it. The argument, and listen to this now, the argument tonight is not whether or not Masons do good in the community or help people. Amen? This is not about the money they donate or the causes they support. This is about the principles and practices of Freemasonry and how they line up with the Bible, period. That's all I'm interested in. I'm just interested in what does the Bible say? Okay? That's what we're going to look at it tonight. Now listen, tonight I will use their sources only. Now, I want you to understand something. I believe that there's many good books out there by former Masons that I've read and know of some of them and people who have studied Freemasonry. And I believe these books are reliable and I believe these books are accurate. However, I'm not going to use these sources tonight. I'm not going to use these sources. Furthermore, I'm going to spend very little time tonight discussing their symbols and their secrets and Albert Pike and the 32 degrees below zero and satanic enlightenment and all that, okay? Because sometimes these details can be subjective. What I'm going to do is I'm going to quote and I'm going to use their manual, the Masonic Lodge manual for the state of Alabama, what they say and what I got, what they said off their own website. This is not some disgruntled Mason. This is not some kind of Christian conspiracy theorist that's trying to attack the Masons. I'm gonna hang them around their throat with a rope. That's a little funny considering we're talking about Masons anyway. I'm gonna hang them with what they say. That this is not what the Christian world says. This is what they say they believe. We're not getting into the symbols and the handshake and all that kind of stuff tonight. What we're gonna look at is about 8 different points where they say they believe and they practice something and it doesn't match up with the Bible. And it's going to be a comparison of what they say they believe and practice as compared to the Bible. Okay? So this has got nothing to do with, well, they helped mama one day. And they give a lot of money to good causes. And they grill the best Boston butts I ever had. Listen, well, I'm not saying they don't do some good things. This is about what they believe and they practice as compared to the Bible. Now, how many of you tonight will say that this is the supreme and the final word on everything we say and do and live and practice? Amen? Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Okay, then you won't have any trouble at all, I promise you, for what I'm going to say in this study. So we'll cover these 8 points and we'll go through them tonight and then that will be all we'll say about it, because after this, if you're not convinced, there won't be anything else I'll be able to say to you anyway. And I'm not saying that to be mean or rude. I'm just saying it that if you listen to what I'm going to present to you tonight, that they say they believe, not me, not somebody else, that they confess, and you hear what the Bible says about it, and you still are in favor of Freemasonry, there remains no more sacrifice. All right, here we go. First of all, point number one, we're going to talk about salvation. Salvation. Freemasonry teaches works for salvation, and along with that, they give no assurance of eternal life in heaven. You say, how can you say that? How do you know that? Well, I'm going to quote what they say. I'm going to read to you two or three quotes out of the Masonic Manual of Alabama. This is the Masonic Manual out of Alabama. Here's a quote. The lambskin is therefore to remind you of that purity of life and rectitude of conduct which is so essentially necessary to your gaining admission into the celestial lodge above. Do you know what they just said? If you want to go to the celestial lodge above, that's what they call heaven. You have that lambskin is therefore to remind you of the purity of life and rectitude of conduct. Your purity of life and your conduct is what's going to do it. No mention of Jesus. Here we go. Next quote out of the Alabama Masonic Manual. By the perfect ashlar, that state of perfection at which we hope to arrive, this is how they hope to arrive. Now listen, this is what they say. Number one, by virtuous education, our own endeavors, and then right there at the end, and the blessings of God. They say that. I didn't say that. They say that. So this is how they're going to reach the state of perfection. And this is they hope they do. They say, by virtuous education, boy, our own endeavors. That, you know, that's contrary to the Bible. Here's another quote they have. Masonic Manual of Alabama. Its covering is no less than a clouded canopy or starry decked heaven. Talking about heaven. Listen, where all good Masons hope at last to arrive. Good a Mason, you're a good Mason, you can hope to get there. That their motto is, we're going to make a good man better, really. Not like that. Do you see they're talking about heaven? One part there, he says, it's the celestial lodge above. That's an unscriptural term. State of perfection. Well, you get a state of perfection, but you don't get it by virtuous education and your own endeavors. Then he says it's a cover. He said it's a starry decked heaven where all good Masons hope at last to arrive. You're not going. Now, we said this is the Bible in Freemasonry. That's what the Masons say. Let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But we are all are as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. You want assurance of your salvation? 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In Freemasonry, you hope to go to heaven by your own good endeavors and your own virtuous education and being a good Mason. And in the Bible, you are only guaranteed heaven by trusting in the Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How dare an outfit to tell somebody if they're a good Mason. Listen, you can be a real good church member and go to hell. You sure enough can be a good lodge member and go to hell. The celestial lodge above. The perfect ashlar. The state of perfection. We hope to get there. And the reason we hope to get there is if we have a virtuous education, our own endeavors, that's works, our own endeavors. That's contrary to the Bible. I didn't say that, they did. All right, number two, let's just move on. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ in all this? You might be interested to know that he is absent in the Masonic manual. You might be interested to know that he is absent in the Masonic funeral. And I want to know this, why do the Masonic people always get to go last? They always come in there and that, the preacher, he's trying to preach something Christian and trying to talk about Jesus Christ, and they come in there and do their thing right there at the end. And the last 15 minutes before that service ends, Jesus Christ's name's not mentioned. That is not a Christian burial. When you say something and recite stuff, you recite things for 15 minutes and so mote it ever be. And he says something in the Grand Lodge in the sky and Jesus Christ's name's not mentioned. That's not a Christian funeral. It's not right. Nowhere does the manual tell masons that to be right with God, they must trust in Christ and honor Him as Lord. And the manual doesn't tell anybody in there to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what a mason will do. He'll want to recruit you to be a mason. He'll talk to you about it. Now, I know you have to seek it on your own, but he'll talk. Listen, most, and here again, I don't want to get off too much on this. I want to be purely objective and not subjective. I can just tell you in my experience that just about every mason I've ever been around that was active, he was much more eager to talk about the lodge than he was to give you a gospel tract. Amen. But let's go on. You know, and I'll just say this. In the Bible, Jesus Christ is the central and most important person. He is exalted as God and given a name above every name. The Bible is clear that for a person to be right with God, they got to trust Jesus Christ and they need to honor Him as He is revealed in the Scripture. And so when you have something like that and Jesus Christ don't even show up in the thing, you can throw it in the trash can as far as I'm concerned. Where is the gospel in the manual? It's not found. So let's go on to another point. Point three. Now we cover this Wednesday night, but some of you weren't here Wednesday night. We'll cover it again. The blasphemous title of the man over the local lodge. In the Masons, there's some titles given, but the one title that's horrible, and you can read about it in the Masonic manual. You can ask any Mason about it, but it's in the Masonic manual. It's out there. They call the leader the worshipful master. How in the world can you call somebody worshipful master that's a man? And I even heard one Mason try to argue with me about it. He said, well, it's just a title. Okay, I'm going to walk up to you next time and go, hey, Mr. Pedophile. And he goes, what? What do you accuse me of? Oh, it's just a title. That means you're really a pedophile. See you later, Mr. Pedophile. That's insane. You call a man? Listen, you don't call him, you say, oh, worshipful. Now, what does worshipful mean? That he's full of worship. Look at the words they're using. Oh, worshipful master. What is the problem with that? Well, it's in direct contradiction to the Bible. Matthew 23:10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You don't call no man master but Jesus Christ. That's Bible. That's Matthew 23:10. Matthew 4:10. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. That's it. Jesus Christ is the only man we ought to call master, and no man is deserving of worship. That alone is such a blasphemous thing. If I was a Mason, or had been a Mason, and I'd ever walked in a lodge ever and called a man worshipful master, I'd ask God to forgive me. I know sometimes we don't understand things and we don't know no better. That's why I'm not being real hard as I could be. That's why there's a lot of stuff I ain't even bringing up about it tonight. I know a lot of people have done it in ignorance, but once you've been shown the truth now, you need to do something right, okay? You need to do something right. Here's one of the big things. No separation from other religions. Do you know that in Freemasonry you can be any denomination or persuasion you choose, any religion you choose, here's the thing, as long as you believe there's a supreme God, there's one God. Here's some information I got. This is from the General Masonic Lodge of Alabama, www.alabamafreemasonry.org. And even if you go on that website, you can read a message from the Grand Master. He ain't the Master, he's the Grand Master. Here's a few quotes I found on that website. They come from virtually every religious belief, but they all believe in one God. It is a friend of all religions. Masonry is a friend of all religions which are based on the belief of one God. That sounds real good, don't it? Sounds real religious. They believe in one God. That's just as anti-Bible as it can be. You don't believe it, do you? because you don't read your Bible. I'm trying not to be ugly to you tonight, but the reason you're suckered into some of these people and this stuff, they don't read their Bible. Let me tell you what the book of James says about it. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You're no better than a devil just to say you believe in one God. Believing in one God is nothing. Believing in Jesus Christ is what you got to believe in. You know what James said? He said, you say you believe in one God, fine. The devils believe in one God, they're all going to hell. It's not enough just to believe in one God. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you some things here. Reading off this, some of these things I got off the websites, and this one here is www.freemasonry.com. Here we go. Belief in a supreme being is a prerequisite to membership, and we believe that each individual has the freedom to worship according to his own beliefs. Well, where's that at in the Bible? I mean, you do have an American freedom, but I don't make it Christian. Notice this now, when a candidate gets ready to be sworn in to be a Mason, you know what he can be sworn in with? It says he can be sworn in with the sacred text of his choice as long as it promotes the supreme being. As a matter of fact, listen, this website promotes 7 different texts. And this is what they say about it. All of these sacred books allude to a supreme deity. These books I'm fixing to call out to you, they say they're sacred books. The Masons said it, I did. They say it about it. First of all, it says the Bible, just the Old Testament for the Hebrews. In other words, if you're a Jew, you don't believe in the New Testament, so you don't have to swear on the New Testament. You just swear on the Old Testament. All right, the Bible, Old and New Testament for Christians. If you're a Christian, well, you get the whole Bible. The Dhammapada for the Mahayana sect of Buddhists. There we go. We got, if you're a Buddhist and you want to be a Mason, that's your book. You swear on this. The Gita for the Hindus. The Granth Sahib for Sikhs. The Quran for Muslims. The Zena Vesta for Parsis. You know what that means? Listen, we invite all. If you're a Muslim, you want to cut our heads off for being a Christian, you can be a Muslim, can be a Mason. You can be a Mason. If you're a Buddhist, as long as you're of the sect that believes in one God, come on in, Buddhist. Come on in, Hindus. We got your book, Hindus, for you to swear on. We got the Quran for you Muslims to swear on. Hey, you Jews that don't believe in Jesus Christ, we'll take the New Testament away and let you swear on the Old Testament. Do you see how wicked that is? That's wrong. That's not subjective. That's what they say and that's what they do. Let me read a little bit more about this. The square and compasses are normally placed on the Bible, but when a candidate is taking an obligation on another book, a separate set of square and compasses is placed on that book. The Quran is normally kept closed until required for an obligation and must not be handled by the bare hands of a non-Muslim. Brethren, therefore, wear gloves as part of the lodge regalia, and the Quran is usually covered with a white cloth. You know what that says? That says, look, will you keep that Quran covered? And since you're not a Muslim, but you're a Mason, and you want to get that, you Masons put your white gloves on, then you can handle the Quran because you're not a Muslim, and bring it to us Muslims so we can swear on that. That's the Masonic Lodge. Put no cotton picking gloves on and throw the piece of stuff in the garbage. The Quran. Fires me up. The lodges of the Grand Lodge of Israel have the Old Testament always open on the altar with a square and compass thereon. If Christians and Muslim brethren are present, the New Testament and Quran are added on one large set of square and compasses. This covers 3 volumes. We're just going to whatever. It don't matter to us. It's all sacred. All the same. You want the Bible? Okay. You want the Hindu book? Okay. I don't want the Bible or the Hindu book. I just want the Old Testament. Okay, help yourself, man. Hey, I don't want none of that. I think the Quran is the Word of God. Okay, that's fine. There are several variations to the usual method of taking obligations, kneeling with the hands on the Bible, as we are accustomed, and Singapore Muslims kneel, but have the Quran held over the head and use the words hereby and here under, rather than hereby and here on. And this last thing here, on this point, while other holy writings may be introduced in various lodges as occasion demands, the Old Testament scriptures still perform their traditional functions as a landmark of our order, which has united men of every country, sect, and opinion through the fundamental belief that above all things, there ever reigns supreme but one grand architect of the universe. As long as you believe there's somebody up there, let's all get along and have a hootenanny. That's totally 100% contrary to the scripture. And if you think God is looking down and smiling from heaven, talking about, look at all the unity the Masons have. We can be a Muslim that hates me and hates Jesus Christ. You can be a Jew that denied the Messiah. You can be a Hindu that God knows what they might believe. You can be a certain sect of Buddhist. You can get out your Quran. Just whatever you want, man. It's for everybody. Now, Romans 16:17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Listen. In offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. You don't join up with them. The Bible says if they're teaching false doctrine, you avoid them. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and the Quran is not wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, from such withdraw thyself. You don't join up with them, you get away from them. 2 John 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's the Bible. A Christian should never yoke himself up together with any group, organization, or person that is contrary to the doctrine of this Bible. And people, you know, here's my next point about the secrets. Now this is a point I don't spend much time on. You know what? You want to have some secrets, and you know we used to do that when there was little boys in a clubhouse. You know this is our clubhouse. Don't tell the girls where it is. This is just us secret. Us three boys that are in it. I mean, you know. But here's the thing: when you join the Masons, you take some oaths of secrecy, and they're given secrets which they are forbidden to share with anybody that's not a Mason, including people in their family. Now, here's the thing. If we're going to go on with the line and compare Bible to Freemasonry, that is totally unlike Christ. Furthermore, it's against what Christ taught. And what I want to know is, if Freemasonry is so life-changing, why do you keep it so secret? Christ didn't. As a matter of fact, now this is the Bible, man. This is what Christ said. John 18:20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, listen, and in secret have I said nothing. Jesus said, whatever I said, bless God, was for everybody to hear. Amen. Acts 20:20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He said, I went public with it. What I had to tell was for everybody. You didn't have to pay any large dues to find it out. It was for whosoever will let them come. Then there's this thing about swearing. And if any of you have read any of the books in there, and it tells you, you know, first of all, you're not to swear. Not swear on anything. And second of all, I don't think Jesus would be pleased with, you know, you swear, and if you, you know, disclose some of these secrets we tell you, we'll cut your tongue out and disembowel you and some of the other stuff. And folks say, well, you know, nobody ever does that. Why do you say that then? Why would you say that? Listen, Matthew 5:34. Again, we're just going to keep going to the Bible. It's the Bible versus Freemasonry. Who's going to win? Bible is. Matthew 5:34. But I, Jesus, say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for the city of the great king. Let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You're swearing on nothing. And then the next point, there's this brethren stuff. What's this brethren stuff? Repeatedly in the Masonic manual, Masons refer to each other as brethren. They call each other brethren. In Masonry, members are brethren irregardless of what they believe about Jesus Christ. If you're a Muslim and you're a Mason, you're my brother. If you're a Hindu and you're a Mason, you're my brother. If you're a Jew and you don't even believe in Christ, if you're a Mason, you're my brother. Brother so-and-so, brethren so-and-so. That's terms for Christ family. Let me tell you something. If you're a Hindu, you're not my brother. If you're a Buddhist, you're not my brother. If you're a Muslim, you're not my brother. And it's blasphemous to get in an organization and shake hands and run with folks and let them bail you out of trouble and you bail them out of trouble and you have a closer kinship with them that don't even believe in your Savior than you do at the house of God. There's something wrong. They're not your brethren. How many of you want to know what Christ said about who your brethren are? It wasn't the Hindus. It wasn't the Muslims. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seat for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. You know what Jesus said? He said, My brethren are those that do the will of God. You get saved and you do the will of God. Those are my brethren. Not a Muslim that don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's Bible. In the Bible, on those who trust Christ and follow in Christ, there's brethren. Now, there's just some outright falsehoods that the Masonic manual and the Freemasons propagate. Let me read this to you. Some of this stuff is just outrageous. Masonic manual of Alabama. Lodges were anciently dedicated to King Solomon because he was our first. Listen. King Solomon was our first most excellent Grand Master, but modern Masons dedicate theirs to St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, who were two eminent patrons of Masonry. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. St. John the Baptist and John the Evangelist were Freemasons? You show me that in the Bible. The word Mason don't even show up in the New Testament. King Solomon was the, it said, what was that again? He was the most excellent Grand Master. He was our first most excellent Grand Master. That's ridiculous, utter nonsense that you couldn't find in a King James Bible if you studied it for 100 years. Listen, let me tell you what the truth about it is. The word Mason don't even show up in the Bible. It's the word Masons. It's always plural. It only shows up 7 times. 2 Samuel 5:11, 2 Kings 12:12, 2 Kings 22:6, 1 Chronicles 14:1, and then 22:2, and then 2 Chronicles 24:12, and Ezra 3:7. Every time that word Masons shows up in the Bible, it's a fella that's doing brick work either on the temple or on King David's house. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody keeping secrets and a secret handshake and a secret society and principles. No, they are brick masons working and laying bricks. Right. Solomon was not the grand master of nothing. John the Baptist and John the Evangelist were masons. You're out of your ever-loving mind if you believe that. You're totally ignorant of the scriptures. I don't mean to be mean here, but these folks, have deceived and lied to so many people and all people see is, well, they do good. They do good. They help people. Yeah, the Mormons do too. They're just as lost as a ball in high grass. Let me tell you this. This is what else they say in the Masonic Manual of Alabama. Now, listen. No institution, talking about Masons, this is what they say about themselves. No institution was ever raised on a better principle or more solid foundation. Nor were ever more excellent rules and useful maxims laid down that are inculcated in the several Masonic lectures. The greatest and best of men, listen now, the greatest and best of men of all ages have been encouragers and promoters of the art. Was Jesus Christ a mason? Did he ever promote the art? Don't you think he's the greatest that ever lived? Was Paul a mason? Did he ever promote the art? He's the best Christian ever lived. James, John, Peter, Thomas, Levi, none of them promoted art. These jokers says the greatest and best men in all ages ever have been encouragers and promoters of the art. You know what they do? They just lie to you and ain't got nothing in here to back it up, and nobody even checks it out. This old fat preacher checks it out. You tell me something, bless God, I'm gonna see if it matches this. You talk about the great lodge in the sky and the celestial beings and our virtuous education and good endeavors all you want to, but it don't find it nowhere in this Bible. People that get in that and promoting that. Listen, you won't find one biblical reference to Jesus and anybody in the Bible promoting Freemasonry or being a Mason. That's nonsense. Now, in light of that, do you have a scripture to end on? I do. Sure do. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. What does the Bible say? Everybody look at this one with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11. We're going to read two verses. I want everybody to read this with me. I want to get this tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 11. This is what the Bible says. We ain't worried about what the Masonic manual. This is what the Bible says. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship. Have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what, church? Reprove them. That's what I'm doing tonight. Look at verse number 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The secret society. They say, no, we're not a secret society. We're just a society that has secrets. All right, you twist the words all you want to. The King James Bible says not to have any fellowship with them. They're unfruitful works of darkness, and to reprove them. I've done that tonight. It is a shame to even talk about some of that mess. And I ain't talking about it tonight. Now here it is. I'm finished with it. Hopefully this recorded. We're going to put it on that CDs. And we're going to label it the Bible and Freemasonry. We'll have several copies. We'll lay it back there on the back table for those that wouldn't hear tonight or didn't want to be here. Maybe they'll have the courage to take one. Maybe you'll tell them that they ought to take one. Maybe you want to take one and listen to the thing again and run the references. It don't matter to me. I've spoken and said what I need to say. Now, in light of all I said here tonight, everybody look up here at me. In light of all I said here tonight, there is absolutely nothing to consider. There's nothing to pray about. There's nothing to wonder. They are in total contradiction to this book. They are teaching heresies and false teachings. And for any Christian to hear this lecture and this preaching or whatever you want to call it tonight and hook up with the Masons, this is very subjective, but I'm going to say, I believe you're inviting unclean spirits in your life. Because now you know the truth. This is not about George Washington and the all-seeing eye on the dollar bill. This is not about the Illuminati and the Masons taking over the world. This is not about what their secret handshake is and their oaths they take and I'm going to cut your throat and all that kind. This ain't none of that. All I did tonight was tell you what their manual said, tell you what their website said, tell you what their leaders say, tell you what they teach and they preach and they go by, and then I told you what the Bible says, and the Bible is totally contradictory to it. You're going to have to take the Bible or the lodge. I done chose where I'm going. And I ain't going to the great lodge in the sky. I'm going to the New Jerusalem.